proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast. In our study of different types of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, we turn our attention to an individual mentioned only once in the book of Genesis and referred to twice in the book of Psalms and the book of Hebrews, and that is Melchizedek. Melchizedek flourished during the era of the Hebrew patriarchs, that is to say, after Noah's flood. The author of Genesis described Melchizedek as a king of Salem, as well as a priest of the Most High God. Therefore, Melchizedek served as the only Old Testament character who fulfilled the dual roles of king and priest. Genesis 14 related the account of Melchizedek's encounter with Abraham. After that patriarch returned from a battle in which he and his trained servants defeated a Canaanite confederacy, Melchizedek came on the scene. He brought bread and wine and blessed Abraham. Abraham, in turn, gave him tithes of everything. Psalm 110 referred to Melchizedek in this following statement, quote, "The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek," unquote. The writer of the book of Hebrews contrasted the priesthood of Melchizedek with the priesthood of the Old Testament. The Levitical priests descended from Aaron. They had clearly defined roles in the Jewish religious system. Melchizedek, however, functioned as a unique type of priest, one who, in the words of the Hebrews author, was, quote, "not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life," unquote. Some commentators, referring to the endless life portion of the previous statement, some commentators have identified Melchizedek with the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Such people might also claim, since Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and not vice versa, that Melchizedek enjoyed greater status than Abraham did, and only God himself had a right to that claim. Such a perspective, though, encounters one difficulty when considering other language used by the writers of Hebrews. In that same context, the author referred to Melchizedek as one who was, quote, "made like unto the Son of God," unquote. The Greek verb aphomoeo, translated as "make like unto," appeared in the New Testament only this one time in this verse in Hebrews. In classical Greek texts, though, that verb aphopomeo conveyed the notion of somebody producing a facsimile or copy of an original writing. But in such a case, note that the original writing and the copy of that writing were distinct and different entities. If Melchizedek were, in fact, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, the writer of Hebrews could have used much clearer terminology to assert that particular argument. By presenting Melchizedek as someone made like unto Jesus Christ would be an awkward way if the intent of the author of Hebrews was to claim that Melchizedek actually was Jesus Christ. What then can we say about Melchizedek? He functioned as a type of Jesus Christ in connection with his religious duties. Melchizedek and Jesus Christ had similarities in these regards. Neither man descended from the tribe of Levi. Both men came on the scene bestowing blessings. And despite the fact that neither man was from the Levitical heritage, God recognized the legitimacy of their priestly ministries. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.